Good morning from New York. I'm Mike Greenberg. Not the usual presentation we open with today. Didn't feel right after the images that we saw last night. We will, of course, have complete coverage for you this morning, including insight from our medical experts. And everyone here, of course, has a lot that they would like to say. In case you have not seen it, we're going to show you this just once, what happened in the second quarter last night in Cincinnati as the Dolphins were playing the Bengals, and this coming just a few days removed from the injury we all saw Tua suffer in Buffalo. And down he goes there on that hit from Josh Tupou, and Tua's arms appear to seize up almost immediately. He would remain on the field for roughly 10 minutes before being placed on a stretcher and taken to the hospital. The Dolphins said shortly before halftime that he was conscious and had movement in all his extremities. Head coach Mike McDaniel would say he suffered a concussion. The team says he did fly back to Miami with his teammates after the game last night. Now, this injury, of course, comes just 4 days after he took a hit in the game against the Bills and then stumbled very noticeably while trying to return to the huddle. Here was that image from Sunday. Tua would be evaluated for a concussion. According to the Dolphins, he passed every evaluation by an independent neurologist. He returned to that game, saying it was a back injury that caused him to stumble. The Players Association requested a review of the concussion protocols following that injury. Now, back to last night. Here's head coach Mike McDaniel after the game.
Everything is checked out, that he didn't have anything more serious than a concussion. He'll be flying back with us here on the plane. I don't think that an injury from last week made him fall the same way this week, you know. But yeah, I do not have any, like, absolutely zero patience for or will ever put a player in a position to, for them to be in harm's way. That is, like, not what I'm about at all, and no outcome of a game would ever influence me being irresponsible as the head coach of the football team.
And we will show you complete highlights of the game, which, of course, was concluded last night after this injury a little bit later here. But the former football players, particularly in our group, all have a lot of reaction to what we saw. Chris, I'll let you have it first. What was your reaction to what we saw last night?
Well, he suffered a concussion, and I was watching the game with my wife, and she was trying to figure out what was going on because she didn't understand why Tua's arms and fingers were frozen the way that they were. But being around high-level football for 16 years between college and the NFL, I knew exactly what happened. He had suffered a concussion, and it also took me back to what we saw in the first half of their Week 3 matchup against the Buffalo Bills, which also looked like a concussion. He was dealing with concussion symptoms. He was wobbly. He fell back down to his knees after he got up. We all understand why the NFLPA launched an investigation, because we all know what our eyes told us in that moment. And so anybody that knows anything about football understands that concussions have to be taken seriously, especially when you're talking about being on a short week. And I'm waiting to see the findings of the NFLPA investigation just like everybody else. But I will say this, Greeny, this represents a systemic failure by the NFL and the Miami Dolphins. Between the unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant and the team physicians and the athletic trainers for the Miami Dolphins, I believe that Tua should not have been out on the field last night playing in that game.
Why?
Because of what we saw the week before. And it's outlined in the NFL's own concussion protocols and their own guidelines. They talk about it. They talk about the symptoms that are representative of a brain trauma or a concussion. And they outline dizziness, headaches, and unbalanced or uneasiness. And so that's the thing that I saw in week 3. And then, of course, we all know that concussions are serious matters, and they take time to heal, much longer than 3 days.
All right, Nico, this is obviously something that is very deeply important to you. For anyone who doesn't know, you walked away from the game at a young age when you still could have continued to play. You were 32, and this was a big part of the reason for your concern.
Yeah, that's the main reason that I walked away. You know, I have a family, I have children. We know that the longer you play, the more risk you have down the road. So my decision to walk away from the game at 32 was based on head trauma. And, you know, when I watched this last night, I was disgusted. And the NFL and the Dolphins, they should be sick to their stomachs with the protocols in place that have failed Tua. They failed the player. And they're supposed to be there to protect the player from the player hurting themselves. Because the player, whatever you say, the player wants to be on the field. They want to play. That's their livelihood. They've been doing that their whole life. They're trying to provide and do things for their family so they can play a game that they love. If you see someone go down, and it's common sense, it's common sense. And I played a long time. You played a long time. When you see someone get knocked out, and you see someone go down, you're like, he's out. You know it instantly. When I saw Tua on Sunday go down, I said, well, that's not his back. What are you talking about? Like, for a player to go down, when you get knocked out, you don't know what happened. I've been knocked out. You get up, you're like, whoa, what happened? I'm okay. I can go. I can play. It's up to someone else, a medical expert or someone that witnesses that to say, no. You just got knocked out. You don't know what happened. You might say it's your back, but we know. We saw it. So the NFL has to do a better job in knowing what to do if they see someone get injured the way that he got injured. It wasn't his back. You don't sit up, shake your head to get the cobwebs out, stand up, do it again, start to run, and stumble on yourself if you have a back injury. It was a head issue on Sunday. They say it's a back issue. He plays Thursday night, 4 days later, and gets a massive concussion where he's froze up. So that's a problem, and it's a bad look. I have children. I have kids. After you watch that, you don't want your kid to play football. And you see all these commercials on safety of the game and future of the game. Technology is shaping the future of the game with helmets. But how do you protect the player on the field so where he doesn't have to fight through an injury to say, hey, you know what? I'm fine. I can go out here. I can play. I'm good. It's the doctors. It's your coaches. It's the NFL. They need to say, no. We need to have a better protocol in place to make sure that players don't put themselves in harm's way. Because at the 44-year-old Tua is going to look back at the 24-year-old Tua and say, why did I do this? Now I have a family. Now I have people that rely on me to be around. And I've seen too many guys that are going through a lot of stuff. And it's unfortunate. I sat next to Junior Seau, was my locker mate next to me. And I had to see things that you don't want to see that happen to people. So I don't want families to go through it. And you don't know. There's an unknown here to the future. How long you played football with contact. What's in store for me? What's in store for everyone that played? It's an unknown. But it's your families that are going to be by your side down the road. You know, the head coach can go up and tap you on the shoulder, hold your hand while you're going off the field. He's not going to be there 20 or 30 years down the road when you're dealing with a problem. It's going to be your wife and your kids.
It's an emotional issue for all of us in so many different ways, particularly those of you, and I failed to introduce everyone at the beginning, and I apologize. Chris Canty, Rob Ninkovich played such a long time, Sam Acho, Brooke Pryor here, and we will have more perspective as we go this morning. Sam, I turn to you not only as a former player, but one who was a VP for the Players Association for a great many years. Term just expired on that a short while ago, but you understand the inner workings of that part of this as well. With all of that as the backdrop, what is your perspective on last night?
Yeah, well, I mean, the VP of the NFLPA is one thing, a former player is another thing, but being a human being watching that game is a totally different story. I mean, you heard about Nink and Canty talking about it. I couldn't watch it. It's the replays. I did not want to watch it. And part of the reason I think about this is people say don't sacrifice what you want most for what you want now. Mm-hmm. And I get it. In the NFL, okay, I want to go and win and help my team win and be the best teammate. I want to go and make all this money, all these things. But, I mean, the point that Nick made was a great one. Tua's parents were the ones who were by his side at the hospital. Down the line is going to be his wife and his kids, his future kid. Like, that's what really matters most. Towards the tail end of my career, early on, rookie sack record, second play, all these things. I was like, man, I did this, I did that. All of a sudden, like an injury here, an injury there. All of a sudden, like, man, I'm not playing as well. Like, what's going on? My parents would be there at the games. And their biggest thing they would say after the game is like, hey, at least you're healthy. And I'll be like, well, come on, guys. Like, I want to go and make plays and get sacks and make all this money and take care of my family. But literally after every single game, mind you, I had a torn pec and I broke my leg. Like, that's part of the nature of the game. But it's people, they would say, at least you're healthy. Like, thank God that you're healthy. And the issue I have here is we have Mike McDaniel saying, well, I wouldn't do anything to get in the way of my player. And you have NFL saying, hey, I know it was reported initially as a head injury last week, then it was changed to a back injury. And they're like, well, we followed all the protocol and go check in with the spotter, go check in with the neuro, the consultant. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here like, Bro, Tua's life has changed. His brother, Talia, who plays at Maryland, like, Talia's looking at this stuff, right? I have a brother who played. Like, at the end of my career, my brother, I was like, man, I want to go play. My brother's like, dude, you're so much bigger than football. There's so much more you can do in life than football, rather than subjecting yourself to this over and over and over again. And so there's a reality that I think people need to understand that, like, football's great and you can make a lot of money, all these things, but there is actually life after football. So that's like, so you ask my perspective, sure, NFLPA, they're going to investigate in a week or two, maybe come up with some findings, maybe they're going to sue the league. Suing the league doesn't help Tua right now.
That is the question I did want to ask you, of course. And there are independent neurologists who were involved in this process. It is worth reminding everyone of that. It was not Mike McDaniel who made the decision to put Tua back on the field last Sunday, or certainly he didn't make that decision alone, and it wasn't his decision that he could play last night. Those decisions are being made by doctors who do not work for the team. Having said that, what is there the NFLPA can do? We hear about the NFLPA investigation. What exactly does that mean?
Well, so what they want to do is they want to know what was the exact protocol. So every team, since the concussion settlement, every team said, we're going to hire an independent trauma consultant, right? Athletic trainer who does not work for the team, who's going to be looking and checking for concussions. Each team has one. There's also the UNC, right? The guy who's
Yunks.
Exactly. There's two of them, one on each sideline, or really up in the booth.
One in the booth and one on the sideline.
Looking down and saying, hey, what's going on? And so the NFLPA wants to say, hey, NFL, last week you said there was no concussion. We saw Tua stumble. What was the protocol? What did he pass the test? What did the consultant say? Like, that's what the NFL is going to look at from last week. It's not an issue of this week. This week we know it was a concussion. But you played on Sunday. You were out. I think you missed three plays.
Yeah.
Three plays after all that. He came back, finished the game. Miami won. Dolphins undefeated. This is great. Yeah, we got our guy. But at what cost? And so that's what the NFL is going to look at. And then they can possibly potentially sue the league. Now, the interesting thing is this investigation is put on by, at least it was quoted by both the NFL and the NFLPA, which people can make their own assumptions and decisions there, right?
Feels like there's an inherent conflict of interest.
If I'm the NFL, I'm saying, how do I protect myself? How do
That's
I absolve
my
myself?
Yeah.
And so now I want to investigate this as well, or I'm going to put it on the spotter who I hired. It's like somebody's got to take responsibility. Somebody has to.
And we will see where it all develops from here. Again, I will point out that the Dolphins said that he flew back with the team last night. We will await any further updates from them onto his medical condition. Brooke, as we talked about this in our meeting this morning, you brought up one very interesting point about a new way in which NFL teams are practicing, and maybe that is the beginning of a new chapter in all of this.
Right, that's the guardian caps, Greeny, and they were used in the preseason. I believe they were used through the second preseason game. Not every position group was required to wear them, but Mike Tomlin with the Steelers was incredibly adamant that all of his guys wear them. He said, I don't care if you feel like you look goofy, this is about your protection. And he said that in a collision between two players, if one is wearing the guardian cap, it reduces the risk of a concussion by 10%. If both players are wearing it, reduces it by 20%. I know that these are not stylish. I know that it might ruin the aesthetic of a football uniform. This goes beyond an aesthetic. This is about protecting players from concussions in an incredibly violent sport. We're talking about protocols that take place after a concussion has happened. Let's also focus on what we can do to prevent them in the first place, knowing that it is dangerous, they will inevitably happen, but why not take every step to reduce them?
And I'm all for trying to protect the player and try to do as much you can with equipment, but at the end of the day, you have to understand the field that you're playing on as well. This all comes down to money. It's a money thing. Why do stadiums remove grass and put in field turf? They put turf in so they can put more events in the stadium. What do you do with more events? You make more money. There's more seats in the stands. So if you really cared about the players' health and safety, you would make every single stadium that could possibly be grass, grass. Okay? Indoor stadiums, understandably, it has to be field turf. Field turf knocks out more people than helmet-to-helmet contact, just like Tua. He hit his head on the turf. The turf is the hardest surface. Underneath the turf is basically concrete. Mm-hmm. And anytime you hit your head on it, it doesn't matter if you had three guardian caps on. Your brain's it's jello in a bowl and you're smacking it on the ground. It's going to move. So to try and help the players, they should try to help the surfaces that they're playing on. So field turf is very hard. If you ask anybody here that's played on it, you're way more sore. I tore my ACL on field turf. I've hit my head on field turf.
Yep.
The surface is a problem as well.
No, and you're absolutely right about this, Nico. It's all being driven by money. And here's the other part that, you know, we got to acknowledge. We're talking about games being played on Thursdays. Why? because there are companies out there that are lining up to big throw money. Huge amounts of money to the NFL for the Thursday night package. I don't think that it's a coincidence that the company that was doing the broadcast last night failed to mention during the halftime report the incident that happened with Tua the week prior with the Buffalo Bills. So all of this is being driven by money, and that's why I think there is an inherent conflict of interest when we talk about this joint investigation that's being launched based on the failures of the protocols from week three, because the NFL is all about protecting its own interests. It's all about making sure that they don't have any potential liability. And that in lies the rub when it comes to preventing future incidents like what we saw with Tua over the course of the last two games.
And here's my issue with people talk about guardian caps, right? Even the NFL, we're going to guardian caps and percentage, all these things. Tua in practice is a quarterback. In games, is a quarterback. Quarterbacks don't get hit in practice, right? So they don't get touched. Yet in the game, quarterbacks get hit. So that hit, he's not like, okay, it protects it. To your point, it protects it by 10% in practice. But when games come, he's not wearing a guardian cap. When games come, this guy that's never been, that doesn't get hit in practice, is getting hit in an actual game. And so you could talk about all the percentages and the numbers and the guardian caps and all these things, but when the game actually is played, a guy who doesn't get touched in practice is getting concussions, multiple. And so that's my issue with saying, well, we got this thing to try and curb concussions. It may not work.
Well, the sport is an inherently dangerous one, and that's unavoidable. As you can make it as much less dangerous, which I understand is not good English, but I couldn't think of a better way of phrasing it. The more you can mitigate that, the better. Obviously, it doesn't solve all the problems. It goes as far as perhaps they can at this moment in addressing them. Go ahead, Brooke.
I was going to say, what if they wore guardian caps during a game? Again, it's great for practice, but why not during a game?
Yeah.
You have cleats. They're specialized during warm-ups. You warm up with your cool helmet, and you get the aesthetic of that. You get to have the honor and the tradition of that. When the game comes on, put that guardian cap on, because even that's some kind of cushion on the turf. You do need a different kind of playing surface, obviously, to protect, but until all of the turf gets ripped up, something like that could help.
There's something I'd like to get mentioned here for sure. I'm sure there are a lot of people tuning into ESPN this morning after seeing or hearing about this last night that may not fully understand the culture of football because you're not accustomed to watching shows like this. So some of them might be wondering, well, why would he go back in the game? He felt hurt. He felt that injury. What is it about the football player and his mentality last night that put him back on the field?
It's ingrained in you to be tough. Right? That's football is based on toughness. And things have changed. Yes, there's more knowledge now than there was 10 years ago or when I started playing football. There's more knowledge of how dangerous it is. And yes, there's high risk, there's high reward. There is. But at that same point, when you look at a player and the way that they're designed, they've been doing this since they were 10 years old, 12, 13, 14.
Yep.
And you were striving to become a professional. And you were lucky enough to be blessed with a certain set of skills that put you in a position to go to school, to go somewhere where you could never imagine you're going. I'm going to go in the NFL. I'm going to make millions of dollars. I'm going to drive that cool car that I always wanted to have when I was a kid. And when you're in that moment, for myself, when you're a fifth-round draft pick, you get dinged. I'm dinged. I got to go out. Oh, next guy, get in. Take Rob's place. No. I worked so hard to get here. I want to be here. I put everything, my life into this, to try and achieve the ultimate goal of being an NFL football player, winning a Super Bowl. And those things are what drive guys. And you're like, listen, I know that this is bad for me, but when you're young, how many people have done things when they're in their 20s that they look back in their 40s and 50s and are like, yo, that wasn't smart of me.
That's exactly the point, Nico. I mean, you're not thinking the way a 30-year-old or a 40-year-old man would think. When you're in your 20s, you're like, I got a finite period of time to maximize my athletic ability and make this money. And that's what I'm going to do. And I don't care what happens to me as long as it provides a vehicle for me to get myself and my family into a better situation. That is the mentality of guys that come into the National Football League, Greeny. And that's why we're all sitting here saying the same things. The fail-safes, the protocols, the infrastructure is in place to protect the players from themselves, because players are not going to make the right decision when it comes to what's in their best interest with their long-term health. And that is the conflict that's going on when it comes to something like concussions, which is not something that's necessarily easily diagnosed. But here's the instance that we're talking about with Tua. There are two clear situations where we have an idea of what's going on with the player. And if we have an idea watching it at home, then why aren't the people that are charged with this responsibility in the stadiums, on the sidelines, in the booth, taking precautions that are necessary? Even if it was a back injury in week 3, based on what it looked like and the symptoms that he exhibited, why the hell would you let him go back in that game in the second half? It just doesn't make sense. And now you're dealing with an even uglier scene because the NFL's credibility is undermined when it comes to actually caring about protecting players from brain injury. Greedy, it's not a coincidence that youth participation from 2008 till now has gone down, what, 39% across the country. People are concerned about this issue. And last night did nothing to quell those concerns.
All right, let me leave it there for this moment. We will come back. We have much more coverage of this as we go, including we will show you how the rest of the game played out last night between the Bengals and the Dolphins. We will also have a variety of our experts and analysts this morning, including medical analysis from Stefania Bell and more. It was a frightening scene last night in Cincinnati, and our coverage will continue in just a moment. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, as we continue here, our friend Ryan Clark tweeting last night, I didn't buy Tua's back injury, and I'm afraid I was right. I've had 2 concussions in 3 weeks before, and the second was so much worse than the first. Take care of yourself, bro. We can lie to others, but we can't lie to ourselves. If you watch the film, you know, and the film don't lie. That's the perspective of RC. We have plenty more of the names and faces that you are accustomed to here on Get Up every morning who will share their thoughts as we continue on this day after the images we all saw last night of Tua in Cincinnati. We're back in just a moment. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up, and our top story of this morning, Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa taken to a Cincinnati hospital with head and neck injuries, suffered on a second quarter sack in last night's game against the Bengals. We're showing it to you just this once. I know many were very disturbed by these images, but I have to assume there are people waking up this morning that don't understand what happened last night. So we will show it just that once, I promise, and not again in this conversation. Tua's arms seizing up, as you saw there. He was carted off the field and diagnosed with a concussion. And this coming, disturbingly, just 4 days after he took a hit against the Bills and stumbled, returning to the huddle. You're seeing it here. And that day, on that game, he was evaluated for a concussion, returned to the game with the Dolphins, saying it was a back injury that caused him to stumble. Back to last night, after the game, Tua's top receivers were asked about the injury.
Emotional, you know, knowing the guy for so long, playing with the guy for so long, you see him go out kind of in the worst way on the stretcher. So a lot of emotions go through your head, but wanted to go out there and continue to play for him.
You want to win the game, but, you know, obviously you want to make sure that your brother is all right, man, because, you know, football, I feel like, you know, football is just our part-time job, you know, so that brotherhood is something that's going to last forever, man.
All right, Jeremy Fowler covering the game for us last night. And obviously the most important thing we can do for you this morning is bring you as much information on this as we possibly can. So, Jeremy, what do we know about Tua? What is the latest?
Well, Greeny, Tua was treated here last night in Cincinnati for his concussion symptoms. And then I was told he was alert. He could feel all his extremities. And so he was scheduled to fly back to South Florida with the Miami Dolphins early this morning. Now, he is under the concussion protocol now, I'm told, which is a five-step process to return to the field of play. But as somebody with the team told me, that is the very last thing on their mind right now, only thinking about his short and long-term health.
All right. Now, we mentioned earlier that the NFL Players Association had been looking into the events of this Sunday. They released a statement last night in reaction to these images in which they said player health and safety is at the core of our union's mission. Our concern tonight is for Tua. We hope for a full and speedy recovery. Our investigation into the potential protocol violation is ongoing. So, Jeremy, what can you tell us about that investigation?
Well, Greeny, I'm told the NFL and the players union want to find out not only whether protocols were followed, but whether protocols need to be strengthened. They want to take individual cases like this and try to learn from them. And so they're going to try to determine whether Tua's hit Sunday against Buffalo and coming up appearing woozy was actually neurologically based and whether that exacerbated what happened Thursday night. Now, head coach Mike McDaniel was adamant that it was only a back injury on Sunday. I talked to guard Connor Williams last night in the locker room. He said he believed that Tua was completely fine to play, was able to play. It was just a very fluky and crummy situation. And so interviews are being done. The investigation is underway. And so all parties involved are just simply going to try to find out whether there should be a punishment here.
Okay, Jeremy Fowler with the latest for us from Cincinnati. Thank you. The reaction across the NFL, including from many of the people that you know from our program and across ESPN, RG3, Robert Griffin tweeting, Tua is a case of NFL teams having to protect players from themselves. Tua is also a case of NFL players needing to be protected from their NFL teams. The bottom line regarding Tua is life is bigger than football. Teams should always put the person before the player. Health before competitive advantage. Putting Tua out there isn't just a player safety issue. It's a quality of life issue. Now, I want everyone to know what just happened here during a break. I had our injury expert, Stefania Bell, and she and I were having a conversation, and you said some things that really our players here reacted strongly to. So I would like to go into those, if we could, for our audience to see and hear. You were describing to all of us in great detail what exactly the concussion protocol entails, and it is rigorous and it is extensive. But then you pointed out at the end of it, regardless of what any independent doctors find, that there was one step that must be completed to finish. And what is that?
Well, there's a determination made by the professionals who are evaluating the player about returning to play. And that comes down to a judgment call. And I think this is in Jeremy's reporting what the NFLPA will be looking at. So you can check boxes as you go through the evaluation, and then you take the collective information and you make a decision about returning the player to the field. And one of the things we need to keep in mind, it makes it very difficult, is that this is the one injury where there is no definitive diagnostic tool to determine whether a concussion has happened or not. If you see loss of consciousness, you know. If you see posturing like you did last night, you know. Everything else is a mix of subjective and objective testing, and it leaves us with questions. As long as there's no definitive diagnostic tool, there will always be questions. And that's a reflection of where the concussion science is, not just the NFL.
All right, Stefania, extremely well done. Thank you. I'm going to keep you close by if I can here, if you do have another moment, in case another question is raised from all this. But again, when she and I were having that conversation during the commercial break, I could see out of the corner of my eye. As soon as she said, ultimately it comes down to someone's judgment, both of you reacted so strongly. Chris, why?
Because, Greeny, it's spelled out in the NFL's concussion policy. It says that the decision to return a player to the game remains exclusively within the professional judgment of the head team physician or the club physician designated as responsible for the diagnosis and the management of concussion. So even though you have the UNCs, the unaffiliated neurotrauma consultants, they're going to help in making the diagnosis. But ultimately, if the player is going back in the game or not, that lies with the team doctors. And that's a conflict of interest when it comes to protecting the player from themselves, because you're trying to win football games. That team doctor, he's employed by the club. He's there to make sure that he does what's in the club's best interest. And it's not necessarily always what's in the player's best interest. And that's the problem that we had. The other thing that Stefania brought up that I thought was interesting is that she talked about the rigorous process and the testing that's done in order for a player to pass concussion protocol.
Right.
Rob and I and Sacho, you've been a part of all of those testings. I myself and other players that I played with in the National Football League purposely flunked the baseline testing so it would be a lower bar to clear in order to return to sport if we did have a concussion or concussion-like symptoms. Because if you have a trauma event to your brain, they're going to go back and you got to take these computer tests. And if your tests are better or equal to the baseline, then they'll let you play. But if it's below that, they won't. So we used to intentionally flunk the test so we would have an opportunity to return to sport quicker, because we understood the gravity of what it meant if we couldn't be available for our team.
And once again, Nico, this is an example of when we talk about how the player needs to be protected from himself. This is probably the best illustration of that I can think of.
Of course, because the player, at the end of the day, they want to be on the football field. They don't want to lose their job. They don't want to have somebody replace them. They don't want to lose out on the opportunity to cash in on a very small window of life. You have a very small window to play in the NFL. And if you aren't a first-round pick or a second-round pick, if you're not a high draft pick where they basically give you that opportunity to and fail, if you fail, it's because you didn't play well enough. If you're a free agent all the way up to the third-round pick, you can't say, take me out for a week or two.
Understood.
There's no way.
Understood. So, but people watching will say, Tua was a first-round pick, but even so,
this pressure exists right now. This is magnified because of his position.
Yes.
He's a quarterback, and all eyes are on Tua. Think about an offensive lineman, a linebacker, a special teamer that this happens to all the time. And they just get through protocols. And then it happens again, and you get through protocol. The reason why we're sitting here talking is it's a starting quarterback that all eyes were on a Thursday night, and we see him go down like this, and he has a concussion. This happens to offensive linemen, to linebackers, to safeties, to receivers that go up. You see a receiver go up for a ball, they come back. Julio, week one, when he caught that pass from Tom deep, he hit his head on the turf. He was out. If you play football, I can watch a play and I could say, that guy's out.
Yep.
He's out. In a split second, if you're out for a split second, I don't care what you say, you had a concussion.
And Brooke, in our meeting this morning, and Sacho, I will come to you in a second, but you were making the point that Andrew Whitworth, who played in the NFL a very long time and is part of the broadcast now on Amazon, something that he brought up last night related to this.
I thought what he said was incredibly powerful. He said that there was a game where he sustained a concussion. He lied on the concussion test. He knew what the answers were supposed to be, and he went back in the game. And it wasn't until a teammate said, hey, man, you are not okay. You need to come out. And he alerted someone, and then Whitworth came out of the game. To your point, Canty, that there are ways that you can get around these testing. You can fake the baseline test. You know what the answers are supposed to be. You can't. How is a test supposed to work if you already know all the answers and you know what you're supposed to say? To me, this is a sign that players, the burden somewhat still falls on your teammates. Yes, it should ultimately be the coaches and the medical professionals. But if all of that fails, players have to speak up for each other.
The question is how, right? It's like, because I got to speak up. And players are speaking up, right? You saw Tyreek's response after, hey, imagine Tyreek Hill getting paid all the money, great receiver, one of the best. He's like, this is a part-time thing. Like, life is more important, right? You saw Jaylen Waddle's response. But imagine, like, I've been on sidelines. I've been with guys who've gotten cussed. I'm like, hey, dude, chill. You need to sit out or chill out or something. But going, like, the team doc, you tell the doctor. Or you might tell the trainer. or something. Hey, he needs to sit out. But you, that decision doesn't lie with you, no matter how much influence you have to try and push. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you can say all you want as a teammate. And just like there's a conflict of interest for players saying, okay, let me kind of lower this baseline, not give answers as quickly when I take the test, there's also a conflict of interest for team doctors and team trainers. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, well, man, I'm employed by this team.
Yep.
And so even if a player is saying, hey, Tua, don't play. Well, if you're the guy who decides that and you make that decision, even if it's not spoken influence, it's unspoken influence, man, I got to make this decision, right? That last judgment call that Stefania talked about. It's a tough call to make because you're thinking about your job, your livelihood, and finding ways to win.
I'm told Stefania has one important piece to add to the conversation. Go ahead, Stefania.
I do think that we should all appreciate that the NFLPA is going to be conducting this review. And I would just go back to a few years ago. There was an incident fairly similar with Cam Newton. You may recall he was getting hit a lot. There was worry about him being targeted with concussion. He appeared to sustain a head injury. He got up. He stumbled. He actually went to the ground and then kind of moved towards the sideline. And again, we were talking about this in the aftermath the same way that we are now. The NFLPA conducted a review, found out there was an orthopedic injury that was his reason for going to the ground and also trying to stop the clock. And so everyone was cleared. I'm not comparing the two situations. I'm merely pointing out that that is the reason for having a review so that we can have clarity on what transpired and any learnings from this incident to help evolve the process going forward.
Thank you, Stefania. Nick, go ahead.
I was going to say that when you look at a player and your teammates with somebody, there are instances where a player can have a concussion and your body does unbelievable things on autopilot.
Yep.
You don't even know what you're doing, but you do it because you've done it over and over and over again, that your body is so used to playing at a high level. You train yourself to play at a high level. There are stories of people that have been knocked out, and they go through a whole game. They look back, they're like, wow, what happened?
I don't remember the game.
You don't remember the game.
Yeah.
So
I have heard Troy Aikman say he doesn't remember playing in a Super Bowl.
Troy
that
Aikman
they won.
He had concussions. He doesn't remember playing in a Super Bowl.
Right.
So your body can do amazing things when you've trained yourself at a high level, especially football players, because you've been doing this your whole life. You're putting yourself in a position to take those hits. But the problem is, it's not an ACL where they can check the stability of your knee.
Right.
It's not a high ankle where they look at it, wow, that thing's swollen. It's always, it's something that they can't see. They
yep.
cannot see it, and they can't do it relatively soon. It's down the line and nobody knows.
That was the point Stefania made at the end of our beginning of our conversation, that the science of this is so inexact and so imperfect that clearly does lead to many problems here, not just in football, but beyond that as well. Stefania, thank you. Let me go to a quick timeout here. We have much more, including more guests that will join us here with their perspective on all of this. Dominique Foxworth, among the others, as we will continue our coverage in just a moment. Again, Tua being taken off the field. He is back in Miami this morning. We're back in just a moment. Get up on ESPN. We're back on Get Up, and of course, our top story this morning, Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa taken to a Cincinnati hospital with head and neck injuries, which he suffered on this second quarter sack in last night's game against the Bengals. He was taken off the field on a cart, diagnosed subsequently with a concussion, the injury coming just 4 days after he took a hit that frightened a lot of people in the game in Buffalo, or against Buffalo, I should say, this past Sunday, stumbled while trying to return to the huddle. He was evaluated for a concussion, returned to that game. Now back to last night again. Here's Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel.
That was an emotional moment. That is not part of the deal that anyone signs up for, even though you know it's a possibility in football to have something that you have to get taken off on a stretcher. If I didn't have a job to do for the organization and the rest of the players, and I didn't have that obligation in my mind, I would have tapped.
All right, so that was his reaction. Mike McDaniel will have his regular day-after-game press conference this afternoon, 1:45 Eastern, so we'll hear more from him. Meanwhile, we heard from the Patriots' Matthew Judon last night, tweeting, "It was no reason that man should have been in the game," shaking my head. "Protect yourself because some people only see you as a football player." The Eagles' Darius Slay tweeted, "Prayers up, man, buddy. Wasn't supposed to be playing anyways." Let me bring some more perspective in here to people you know well from our show and across ESPN, our friend Dominique Foxworth, our friend Desmond Howard, who was there for Clemson, North Carolina State this weekend. Guys, thank you both. And Desmond, I will start with you. Just, you played the game a long time at the highest conceivable levels, both college and professional. And so what are your thoughts after what we saw last night?
Well, Greeny, I just got wired up, so I didn't hear the comments previous to me joining the show. But, you know, I live in Miami, and I actually go to Dolphins games. I'm a season ticket holder, and I was at the Buffalo Bills game. So I saw what happened to Tua on Sunday against the Bills, and obviously we all speculated that it was a concussion, but he was able to come back out there. I remember at halftime, he came back on the field, and, you know, he seemed to be okay. He was getting the crowd excited, so he seemed to be himself. So he went back out there, played well, and they won the game. And then last night, I'm watching him make miraculous throws. I mean, he hit Gesicki right over a linebacker, right in front of a safety, just making great throws. Threw one in the back of the end zone to the running back for a touchdown, but the running back dropped it. So he was playing at a high level. You know, if this didn't happen last night, where he was just tackled, it wasn't a hit, but you got the whiplash syndrome that happened a week ago where he's tackled, and he goes on his back, and his head slams against the turf. That's what happened against the Bills. It's what happened last night. If that freak incident didn't happen, then we're not having this conversation about, well, should he have been out there playing or not? When you can perform as a player, you feel as though it's your duty to go out there. It's your duty for the fans, for your teammates, and for everyone who supports you to go out there and play. You have to put in some sort of protocol, if you're really serious about this, that will not allow the player to see live action for a period of maybe 7 days. Because we're wired, we're conditioned, we're trained that if everything is okay and we feel as though we can go out there and perform, then we're going to go out there and do it. And so I understand what all the talk is about right now, because it was 4 days ago when he was speculated to have a concussion, and then you put that on top of what happened last night. I get it. But if you're really serious about it, Greeny, Dominique, you're going to have to put something in the concussion protocol where a player cannot see live action for an extended period of time, like maybe 7 days or 10 days.
As was pointed out just a few moments ago, for those of you just joining us, Stefania Bell told us that at the end of the protocol, no matter what else, or assuming a player passes through the previous steps of the protocol, a judgment call must be made by a medical professional, either yes or no, this player is healthy enough to go back into a game. Go ahead, Neek.
So the NFL's own head, neck, and spine committee lists the signs of a concussion as loss of consciousness, slow to get up, stumbles, loss of balance, disorientation, and clutching of head. So I know none of us want to pretend like we're neurologists or anything like that, but it seemed pretty clear from the game against Buffalo that just about all of those boxes were checked. Then he goes and does the protocol, and I guess he answered the questions well enough to go back out on the field. But I do think it's important, at least it's important for me to put this out here, is that football is a unique game, and part of its uniqueness is the interdependence. Like, it's a unique level of interdependence when you're playing football. It's not like basketball in that one player can do everything. Like, people like Chris Canty and I can both play football, even though our body types are so different. It just is really unique to think about how much like life it is, and that it's interdependent and you're really relying on people. And I think because of that, there's a lot that you can learn and a lot of ways that you can grow from being a part of football, but at what cost? And I think we often, when things like this happen, we often are up in arms and all sanctimonious about how dangerous this is and how bad the NFL is. But if we're being completely honest with ourselves, subconcussive episodes are just as dangerous as these big, ugly hits. So if we don't have a big, ugly hit to talk about on the morning after a game, we just continue along our lives as if nothing happened. However, the players who played, who had multiple just head contact after head contact after head contact, like, they are also increasing their risk of CTE, because that's what this is all about. We're concerned about the player's long-term health, because once we discovered, I guess it was in 2008, I think it was, when we discovered that the NFL was hiding hiding the findings of reports that suggested that there were links to CTE and dementia were linked to being involved in playing football. They were hiding that, so they can't be trusted. Once we found that out, we all were kind of concerned about these big, shocking hits that make us uncomfortable and are ugly. But we got to be honest about this game. We have not figured out a way to make it safe. And it's up to the players, obviously, to make a choice whether they want to be involved in this game or not. I would obviously not go back and change that because of all of the things that it's done for my life. But again, it's easy to say this now. I haven't reached the darkness that, I mean, people like Junior Seau have reached to a point where they feel like they are better off taking their lives than it is to continue living. So I would definitely feel differently at that point. So that's what this is all about. And I think we all need to understand that as long as we support the NFL, as long as we watch the NFL, we are complicit in allowing these things to happen.
Let me leave that there for the moment, only because I'm up against the end of an hour. Dominique, thank you. I'd love you to stay if you can. Desmond, thank you so much for jumping in here. We will see you tomorrow night again. Clemson, North Carolina State. Game day will be there in the morning, and the game is tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern on ABC, a huge one in the ACC. Gentlemen, thank you both very much. We'll take a short break here as I'm up against the end of an hour. We'll come back with far more perspective and conversation resulting from the incidents last night in Cincinnati. Again, Tua did fly back to Miami last night with his teammates and is there this morning. We'll be right back.